The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. I've always been a fan of incorporating a multitude of interests, skills, and passions into someone's career life. And that doesn't necessarily mean expecting one career to allow for all of those. No one has to limit themselves in that way. But sometimes it works well to do them at different times in one's life. And sometimes it works well to have entirely separate career paths at the same time. That outcome can be especially rewarding and fulfilling in that diversity. My guest today has two entirely different careers that he manages to coordinate throughout any given year. He's Clint Frank, and he is the captain of Selkirk Fire, and he is owner outfitter of Middle Fork River Tours. And I've been wanting to have Clint on the show for a really long time, so I'm really excited to have him. And I finally caught him off the river and away from the station so he could join us. We're going to go to break, and when we return, Clint will join us and share how he has been able to have two great careers and how he manages to do them collaboratively. It's somewhat the same time. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, Sandpoint. Grant Simmons here. Why am I running for Sandpoint City Council? Simple. Incentives. This town has given me family, community, and a flourishing career. I believe that everyone should have that same opportunity. I built a life here, I'm watching my kids grow up here, and experience firsthand the beauty of what Sandpoint has to offer. Now ask yourself, what's your incentive? For me, it's ensuring my family and yours continue to have thriving opportunities right here. I'm asking you to join me in this vision. Together, let's craft a Sandpoint where family and opportunity are always at the forefront.
Paid for by Grant Simmons.
Are you looking for a deal on a new side-by-side? Factory rebates are back at Northern Idaho Power Sports. Get $1,000 rebates on the 2022 CF Moto 800 Trails and $2,500 rebates on 2022 Yamaha Wolverine and Armaxes. Our team scoured the region to collect the units with awesome rebates so we could pass them on to you. Quantities are limited, so come claim your factory rebate while you can. Your full-line Yamaha CF Moto and Bobcat dealer, just 2 miles north of Sandpoint on Highway 95.
It's time to see what's new at Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Details on example rate at selectquote.com.
A psoriasis flare-up can make a walk in the park, well, no walk in the park.
It's that obvious, huh? I've tried so many lotions and creams, but I still have symptoms.
So those don't do enough to treat the inflammation beneath the skin, leaving you with those uncontrolled symptoms.
Makes sense, but what else can I do?
You can get real with your dermatologist so they can help you get clear. Make an appointment and, oh, you're already on it.
Hi, yes, I'd like to make an appointment.
Get real clear about psoriasis at letsgetrealclear.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
North Idaho's Radio, 97.1 FM and 1450 and 1400 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks, to do work, and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lisa Marquardt, and I'm a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Clint Frank. He's Selkirk Fire Captain and Middle Fork River Tours owner and outfitter. Clint basically juggles two career balls, but not exactly at the same time. So thank you so much for being here so we could hear a little bit about how you managed to collaborate the two different careers that you have. Such a pleasure to have you. And I think it's so synchronistic that I ran into you and Stanley when you were, we were both in places I would never have expected to run into each other, but there you were. And then I finally get to have you on the show. So thank you for being here.
Thanks, Lisa. Pleasure to be here.
Great. So the one thing that I'm super curious about is, so you've got these two different careers, your owner outfitter and your fire captain. And I see that there's some similarities in the things that you do in both of those careers. And my curiosity says, which one came first?
Well, I was a river guide first. You know, I attended the University of Montana back in the early 90s. Okay. And that's when I first got into guiding as a, you know, just a good summertime job that got you outside. So that's kind of when I developed, you know, my love for rivers, a passion for getting people in the outdoors. And, you know, started as a day trip guide and then worked on my way to a multi-day trip guide, you know, kind of my later college years. And
wow.
And then started on the Middle Fork of the Salmon when I was 25 years old.
And so, and how did, so I know there's a lot of guides in this area and, you know, all the way down to Riggins and all over the state. And, you know, they kind of just seem like it's a fun passion for them and they might be good at it. So they just keep doing it. But to elevate to the point where you have your own business, that's a big step. So tell us about that.
Well, the opportunity became available about when I was like, I think 36, 37. The family I worked for, the Selish family, Kurt and Gail, they own Middle Fork River Tours. They were the original owner, started in 86. So that's the family I worked for, starting in 98. And then worked for them for 4 years full time. And then got hired in the fire department in 02 because I realized that we wanted to live here in Sandpoint, have a year-round career, you know, benefits. And just the fire department just kind of spoke to me as far as being a great career moving forward. So at that point, I thought, hey, this is going to be my only job. But then I realized I still miss the river. So I'd go back and work for Kurt and Gail just a couple trips a summer just because I enjoyed doing multi-day, six-day, 100-mile river trips.
Wow.
So, and I still love it to this day. It has, that hasn't changed. But I didn't expect the opportunity to ever own the outfit until they approached me when they were thinking about selling, if I'd be interested. And, so I discussed it with my wife, Molly, and, you know, we just went for it. It was one of those things that we were able to do. They were going to carry the loan for us. They really wanted to pass on to another family. And so now we've owned it for 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, and they obviously saw that you had the talent and the skills and the interest to do that too. So I'm sure they were glad to pass it off to you.
Yeah. No, it was a really smooth exchange. You know, they were just a great family. So Kurt was a great mentor. I think anyone who has had great bosses or great mentors, you know, it's pretty cool when you can follow in their footsteps. So we haven't changed much. It's just a, you know, great family-run business. We're getting families out is our favorite thing to do. So we do a ton of three-generation trips, you know, age, you know, 7 to 75.
Awesome.
Pretty much our favorite trips are those, but we, you know, do high-water trips, low-water trips. It just depends on the time of year when you're going to join us, you know, spring or kind of later summer.
Right. So when you think back on, okay, all of a sudden, you're not just the guy guiding the tours, you're owning the business. What was that? I mean, how eye-opening was that for you? And what was, you know, what were your thoughts about that? Because there's so much behind-the-scenes stuff that happens that I would imagine you didn't really know so much about.
Yeah, it is a different role. I mean, obviously, you know, I was a lead guide for them, so I was always already kind of managing the groups that we'd go out with. But there's a ton of behind-the-scenes stuff. But I knew coming aboard with Molly, who's a school teacher, extremely organized, that just kind of our different skill sets of her doing all the behind the scenes stuff and me just running the trips, kind of the safety side of it.
Yeah.
And being just kind of the spokesman and being the trip leader. We just had like the perfect complement to make it really successful. And I think that's really why it's continued to be super successful.
That's great. And yeah. So what was that first, your first adventure, your first season like when you guys had taken over the reins?
Well, of course, it was the highest water in 40 years on the Middle Fork. So,
perfect.
Really big water year. And the road didn't open, I don't think, till June 17th that year, June 16th. So, you know, Little Fork, you start at 6,000 feet, you take out 3,000. So you lose 3,000 feet in 100 miles.
Wow.
And so it's quite a topography change. And that's why there's a lot of class 3 and 4 whitewater, especially in the spring. So the road just naturally opens. The Forest Service doesn't plow it. We've encouraged them to plow it just because it would be easier on the road because people do try to get in there early and it gets all rutted up. And anyway, so yeah, high water year to start. And it's just, I love high water though. And that's just something you embrace. If you're going to be a class 4 guide, you're going to be good at running high water. You're going to be good at running low water. So I was fine with it. I know Molly was like, nervous.
Yeah.
But she, wasn't going on the trips, but just the liability of like, we're taking all these people at high water.
So hopefully you didn't have a lot of 75-year-olds there.
Well, unfortunately, people book out a ways out.
Yeah, for sure.
And you don't always expect that much of high water, on your, one of your earlier trips. You do like your May 30th or June 8th, but usually by June 17th, end of June, things are kind of starting to go down and it's more manageable, like, family style trips. But, when the water's too high though, we'll fly our groups in to Indian Creek. So there's a certain kind of cutoff water level when it's above 6.5 feet, which is kind of a river gauge. We won't take people off the top just because if there is a boat that flips or there's a swim, they can be really long swims.
Okay.
And there's just a ton of timber up there on the upper end. So we'll still take the boats down. So it's called a high water deadhead. So we don't have to fly all the gear in. And then we'll just fly the guests in and start from Indian Creek, which is an easier spot, more mellow. So people can kind of just ease into the trip rather than being... It's kind of like being shot out of a cannon when you start from the top.
Okay.
Which is great. And that's why people usually book earlier season trips because they want, class 4 whitewater.
Right. There are those people.
Mm-hmm.
So everything went well for your first adventure?
Everything went, yes. It went well.
Good.
We did have a boat flip. That's the only flip I can think of since... I've owned the outfit in 14
wow.
years, but we did have a boat, of course, flip that year. And, it's just something you deal with, yep. All the gear's tied down. And we didn't lose anything, just bent some stuff. we had great water flows. Once you kind of got through the high water and just embraced that part of it and just, hey, we're going to run tight as a group, in case you do have a swimmer.
Sure.
I call it high water kind of like a big powder day. It's just, it's time to step up, take care of business and, keep an eye out, but I love it. It's a lot of fun.
Well, I'm sure there's an awful lot of adrenaline that goes with that as well.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about, what it must be like. So your trips are anywhere from 4 to 6 days?
Either 5 or 6 days.
5 or 6 days. And I was thinking, probably one of the things that must be somewhat entertaining for you and probably very interesting is the dynamics of relationships and what happens when people spend that much time together 24/7. Because I would imagine most groups pick their groups and everybody's knows everybody, but and that can cause it. There's some different kind of dynamics right there. So I'm just kind of curious, are there life lessons? Are there things that you've come to appreciate about relationships from having the experiences on these boats or these rafts?
No, that's a great question. I mean, we meet a variety of people from different backgrounds.
Sure.
But the one thing they all have in common is obviously they have a connection to the outdoors and the wilderness. Otherwise, they don't sign up for, you know, a four-night, five-day or a five-night, six-day river trip if they don't at least have that connection. But I call it the human experiment. When you meet this different, many different people from different parts of the country, different parts of the world, you know, we don't get a lot of internationals, but definitely have a little connection with the Aussies. And definitely had some Europeans, but it's mainly Americans for the most part. for the most part, great. I mean, there's just some awesome people that come out. We do get some strange folks, you know. I mean,
that's what I want to know about.
It's just that's just the nature of the business. I mean, you know, we don't we describe our trips, you know, on our website. So you know, if you know you're going to come on an early trip, it's going to be a class four type trip.
And cold, probably.
Water's colder. Yeah. You're going to be in a wetsuit. So we kind of do that description. But, you know, we don't really screen our guests in the sense that the fact that they sign up, hey, we take them on trip, we provide a service. So,
How could you anyway?
So we've had, I've had to fly a couple guests out because they said they didn't quite expect how hard the trip was, even though we were making it extremely comfortable. But, you know, there are rocks that you have to move around in camp, and there's dirt. And
there's dirt.
Yeah, I mean, these are, you know, it is a camping trip, right?
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
So I think I've done that twice now where they just, you know, usually when you sense that, and you don't want to ever do it because you want to have them experience a trip, right?
Get through it.
But after you do something for long enough, as soon as I can kind of sense that, I'm happy when they choose to fly out, because otherwise it would be me talking to them more than I need to the entire trip, when I'd rather probably engage with some of the other guests.
Yes. Well, and I'm sure you probably have come to know the warning signs of this is probably going to go south before it gets better.
Well, it's funny. You know, usually when people take notes in orientation, I'm like, that's odd. But I've learned also, you know, sometimes you can't judge a book by its cover. I've had people do that, and then I'm like, all right, well, this person seems like they could be odd, and then they end up being a really interesting, great guest.
Nice,
so,
nice.
And that's the beauty of the trip. It's just you really get to know people at a pretty good level because no distractions, you know, no cell phones. It's just you know, you and your crew.
Wow.
We usually bring 7 or 8 guides, and our guest usually is 22 or 23 guests per week.
Wow. And no cell phones.
No cell phones. No.
That's amazing.
They do not work.
Oh, there's that. So it's not just that you just say you can't bring them. It's just that there's no reception.
There's no reception. People do bring them for, obviously, pictures
along
that side of thing. But, yeah, no, they just don't work. Even though we always get that question, sometimes in orientation, even though it's all over our literature that your cell phone will not work, there's no connection.
And that is a big deal for people. I mean, I understand if you're aware of it ahead of time, but the reality of it is, oh my God, I'm not in touch with the world right now. How do people handle that?
I think that's why they come on these trips.
Awesome.
I mean, honestly, I think that's what people, I think it's something that people need. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to have that disconnect from everyday life.
So true.
Get out in the wilderness. I mean, those are my favorite trips. You know, wilderness trips, backcountry ski trips, extended day river trips.
Yeah.
The cell phone obviously is part of our life. You know, I use it daily when I'm in town.
Yep. Of course.
Obviously, you know, kids are raised with it now.
Yep.
But that's why it's such an easy thing for me to be passionate about is the disconnect from the everyday world and come out on a 4 or 5, 6 day river trip and it'll definitely change you, and I obviously think for the better.
And that's what I love about it is, and I have not had the opportunity to go, but I would love to, and I do plan to, and I wonder, like, what happens in group dynamics when people are together in nature with a lot of the stresses and strains of everyday life off their plate, or unattainable anyways? Do you see that there's a deeper connection between people? Do you feel – what kind of things do you see, or if you do?
Yeah, so, you know, it usually takes a couple days. So we do a little bit of both. We have mixed groups where people just sign up. So, you know, a group of four, a group of four, a group of two, and they just will come on one of our launches. And then we also run a lot of, you know, family charters where everyone knows each other already, which is pretty cool,
yeah,
too,
I've been
right?
Like that, sure.
So usually, you know, that connection is already kind of made with that family charter or you know, or friends charter, because everyone already kind of has a connection.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see kind of the mixed trips,
sure.
Because it will usually take a couple of days. It doesn't happen like night one, usually.
Right. Usually, yeah. No, everybody's got to decompress.
Yeah.
Right?
So it usually takes a couple of days to kind of get in the river mode. And it usually happens around day three, right? Where people are just like, yeah, we're here. Yes, you are. We're not leaving for another 60 miles.
Yeah, exactly. and that's probably when they start really loving it too.
They do. And you can see that just when they just kind of get in the routine, kind of see our routine, you know, when all the meals are served, how to break down camp. And yeah, it's team oriented. You know, we certainly provide everything where you really don't have to do anything if you don't want to as a guest, but right. A lot of guests like to help.
Sure.
So yeah, I always encourage help. Yeah. So.
And they don't have a lot of distractions, so they can't. So I get that completely. But anyways, just noticed it's already time for us to go to break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Summer is better than autumn. That's a fallacy. At Winter Ridge, the tide is turning, and we are busy welcoming all things seasonal. From pumpkin spice creamers, smoothies, ice cream, teas, and bath bombs, to apple spice snacks, sparkling waters, and sweets. And don't forget to grab a cowboy ribeye or porterhouse steak in the meat department with a little help from our local 4-H friends. All non-GMO and grain finished. Winter Ridge, your community choice at the corner of Lake and Boyer and Sandpoint.
Winner, winner, raffle dinner!
That doesn't make any sense, Greg.
It does once you find out that the Idaho Lottery's $1 million raffle has not one, but two $1 million winners.
Two $1 million winners?
That's what I said.
Okay, well, what's the catch? Let me guess. Worse odds?
Actually, better than they've ever been.
So you're telling me there are two $1 million winners in the Idaho Lottery's $1 million raffle, and the odds have never been better?
That's what I'm saying.
Well then, winner, winner, raffle dinner.
Woo! Benefiting Idaho public schools and buildings. Must be 18 or older. Play wise.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-8695. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-8695. That's 800-575-8695. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
My brother-in-law died suddenly, and now my sister and her kids have to sell their home. That's why I told my husband we could not put off getting life insurance any longer. An agent offered us a 10-year, $500,000 policy for nearly $50 a month. Then we called SelectQuote. SelectQuote found us identical coverage for only $19 a month, a savings of $369 a year.
Whether you need a $500,000 policy or a $5 million policy, SelectQuote could save you more than 50% on term life insurance.
For your free quote, call SelectQuote at 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050. Or go to SelectQuote.com. 1-800-452-5050. That's 1-800-452-5050.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Details on example rate at selectquote.com.
KBFI, KSPT, North Idaho's radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I am having an opportunity to speak with Clint Frank, who is a Selkirk Fire Captain and the Middle Fork River Tours owner outfitter. And he, with his two diverse careers, I have to switch right into his other career, being the fire captain. And
And hopefully I'll bring it together a little bit later about why I think it's so interesting that those two paths are part of your life. But so you said that you were involved in the fire department, and I'm just curious, like, so how did that interest come about? Where did that passion start?
So when I was, you know, younger, kind of late 20s, mid 20s, you know, I was just guiding and ski patrolling, you know, after my, you know, after college. And eventually, my wife and I, you know, she's from Sandpoint, and we bought a house, and I knew we wanted to raise a family. So I knew I had to figure out, you know, a year round career.
Got to get a real job.
So, anyway, it just appealed to me. At the time, I heard they were looking for volunteer, you know, firemen, and that was kind of the step to at least get your certifications and to see if it was the right career for you. And just being a ski patroller, where obviously you help people on the hill.
Sure.
You kind of do the same thing as a firefighter.
Exactly.
You just use a fire engine rather than your skis to get to the call. So it just seemed like this would probably be a pretty good transition for, you know, the idea of, you know, I like medical, I like helping people, and I like providing service. So I started as a volunteer, and then luckily about a year and a half after that, they had a testing, and I was able to, you know, land a job pretty quickly in the testing process. So
awesome. But so it wasn't something that when you were a little boy, it wasn't like, someday I'm going to be a firefighter?
No, not at all. No, not at all. It just was one of those careers that, you know, as you kind of grow, develop throughout your life, it just attracted to me just because of obviously the idea of service, the idea that no day is the same, decent pay, and also the ability that it had. I like shift work. Like, I couldn't see myself in kind of a typical 9-to-5.
Right.
And obviously firemen, you work in the field, you have some office time, but, you know, a lot of it's in the field training and providing, you know, 911 calls.
Yep. Well, so, and I would imagine part of your personality has probably always been a little bit on the adventurous side, a little bit on, you know, like being willing to help and like put up with the injuries and accidents that happen in the line of work that you've had. So how did you discover that that was part of what you were made of?
You know, I don't think you discover that until you actually start taking classes and then you actually start running calls.
Okay.
So ski patrol, you know, it's an emergency line of work too,
sure,
where you see some unfortunate wrecks that you just either kind of have the mentality that you can just separate, like, hey, here, I'm here to help this person and patch him up and move on. And obviously you get more used to it the longer you do your career.
Okay.
And I think you get better at it as well.
Yeah, because, you know, my biggest passion is to help people, but if it had to do with anything, any part of their body not being where it's supposed to be, I would have a very hard time with it. So I always, like, I admire the heck out of people that can do that. And I always just wonder, like, I don't think it's something that's innate with all of us. And there has to be some definite fortitude that allows you to step up to that plate, whether you were kind of aware of it or not. But I'm just always curious about what's it like when you come upon like that first scene that you're like, oh my gosh, not prepared for this.
Yeah, I mean, really a lot of it goes back just to training, you know, just making sure you're ready ahead of time is how you're successful in that type of operation and experience.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, when you see it for the first time, whether it's a bad car wreck, you know, three or four type vehicle, you know, car, you know, that's going to require extrication.
Sure.
It's something that, yeah, I agree. You just innately get used to it and you're able just to block it out and just say, hey, this is what needs to happen next.
Yeah.
But yeah, number one is just making sure our crew's always safe, well-trained. We all go home. I mean, that's kind of the nature of the game. So it's a great career. Like, I'm so happy I was able to find the fire service. It's been, it's given me a lot of leadership abilities.
Yeah.
It's given me a lot of just straight skills because we train so
sure.
much. And again, you know, I think to really be a great fireman or emergency responder, you actually have to truly love providing service and helping people.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, sometimes you work with people long enough and you can kind of sense they lose that path a little bit, and it's just a paycheck. And it's sad when you see that sometimes.
Yeah.
It's not all the time, but I think that could be any career.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Right? Yes. Yes.
Because it is a paycheck at the end of the day. You have to, you know, work, pay your mortgage, pay your bills. But yep. It certainly is great when you find something you actually like waking up, yes, going to work, because your career goes by way faster.
Absolutely. Because you're not going like, oh my God, I have to go to work tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then every moment just slowly ticks by. So yes, I one of my goals is to really get people out of those careers because, yeah, that's a total life suck when there can be so much more fun and excitement involved. But so, and I would think that a big part of being a part of the fire station is the fact that things, you never know what a day is going to be. You can't, right?
No, I mean, obviously you don't know as far as what kind of calls will come in.
Right.
You know, 911s, it's no day is the same as far as that's concerned. Right. But you do know, like, you know, hey, training day, inspections,
sure,
you know, public education. So we do have, like, planned events that you know how the day is going to shape. But, yeah, as far as when calls come in, they just come in. And,
right,
you know, some times of the year it's busier on certain types of calls,
mm-hmm,
you know, obviously, than others. So, like, we're going into wood burning season right now, so yep, there'll be an uptick in chimney fire. So I always encourage folks, make sure you clean your chimney. Like, some of this stuff's very preventable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a chimney fire certainly turns into a structure fire if it gets in the attic space quickly. So, you know, that's kind of some education that we'll be pushing out probably this time of year because it just turned cold.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and yeah, and people, you don't know when you're going to, the last time you're going to use your fireplaces. And so all of a sudden, the next thing you know, it's time to use it again. So I think it's one of those things that's really easy to forget.
Definitely.
But so, and you know, I just think it's interesting because I don't feel like I'm aware of a lot of home fires that go on. I mean, do you guys just keep it so under control that we're not aware? Or is that just not, it's so much a part of what the work that you do is, because you're doing so much preventative?
You know, really, it's not something that gets reported that much because typically we, unless it's a big fire,
right,
like, you know, a downtown or commercial fire, like it won't catch the news, right?
Right.
So a lot of them are just residential fires throughout the district. The district's huge. It's 192 square miles,
sure,
between Westside, Sagal, and Sandpoint.
Right.
So at one point we did actually like kind of put out, hey, this is how much we saved of the home, you know, as far as like we'd actually be a little bit more proactive of like getting that out to the public.
Right.
But, you know, unless it's a large fire and it gets reported, like it catches the news attention or the Daily Bee, you know, it's usually just another day and another, right, fire, which I don't say that lightly. Like, I feel terrible for the family that
anytime, sure,
they have a fire, but the number one priority is just get everyone out. Because you can always rebuild.
Absolutely. And I'm sure that there are times when people are very resistant about that. And there's some struggles that go along with that one.
It can be. I mean, you know, smoke alarms are so important. I've been talking about smoke alarms my entire career.
Yeah.
They definitely save lives. So we actually look at smoke alarms, even on medical calls. We'll just do a quick scout. I mean, especially areas like that you might suspect that they are not having a working smoke alarm. You know, and we always have them on the rigs. We have them at the station for free because it's that important. I mean, like I say, you can always rebuild, but you can't, you know, if you lose your life, it's the only life you have.
Absolutely. So you guys get to play heroics on both sides. I mean, you get to make people aware of what they can do to prevent something tragic happening for them and their families, and you also get to be on the other side where you get to save people from when those things don't happen. So I always think it's one of those things that I wonder what kind of a role that plays in being a fighter is, to be able to be that hero and how that feels at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, when you make a save, it feels incredible.
Oh, I can't imagine.
You know? Yeah. But you don't always make a save.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the hard part of the job.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we certainly talk about that after a tougher call right away.
Good.
We call it a tailboard session and just kind of get those thoughts and feelings right off your chest.
Good.
Because it's, I mean, it's a sad part of the job.
Huh.
That, you know, there's different ways to deal with it. I think the best way to deal with it is talk about it right away, make sure your crews are good, and then have some other outlets when you leave the firehouse. So that's why I have a lot of other outlets, you know.
Love it, yes.
Other passions, whether it's skiing, you know, riding bikes, or obviously running a multi-day Wilderness River company. It takes my focus away from some of the things that, you really don't want to have stay with you your entire life. You just kind of want to, you move on, I guess.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting because I have a friend in California that was a captain of a fire station, and just by the nature of my curiosity about people's work and what their day looks like, I would always ask him, like, so I'd love to hear some of your stories. And he goes, I will not talk about it at all. It's like, it was just something that he said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to bring it up again. There was no encouragement in their station at all about like offing it in some way or sharing it with anybody else. And it really took him down. And I think that's commendable that you guys do that. And at least because you guys have that camaraderie of, I know what you've seen, what you've been through, and let's like partner in getting through this together.
Yeah, it's important to talk about any type of, you know, tough issues in your life with people.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
Because, when you keep it in, it doesn't do anyone any good. So that's been good for us. I know, a lot of firemen, a lot of, veterans deal with PTSD.
Yeah.
I think we all, maybe all have a little bit of that at some point. But I think if you have outlets that are positive, like getting outside, besides drinking would be a bad outlet. And a lot of people go down that path because they got to find a way to just kind of forget about it. So that's been a strong point, I would say, of Selkirk Fire, is that all crews typically will go ahead and talk about a bad call right away.
Love that.
We've obviously seen fatalities. I mean, if you're going to spend 22, 25, 30 years in the fire service, you're going to run calls that don't end the way you would hope.
Exactly. And I love that you guys choose to go out and appreciate what life does have to offer while you get the chance to enjoy it too. So that seems like a good balance to me.
Yep.
Anyways, it's time for us to take another break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Real country music. Yeah, you got a chance. Cody Johnson live. Friday, April 26th in concert at Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena. Country's best. Cody Johnson in the Leather Tour with special guest Justin Moore. Also featuring Drake Milligan on stage at Spokane Veterans Memorial Arena Friday, April 26th. Cody Johnson. In concert. VIP and reserve seats on sale Friday, November 3rd, 10 a.m. at ticketswest.com in the Spokane Arena box office. Cody Johnson in the Leather Tour. Special guest Justin Moore. Produced by Police Productions.
It's time to see what's new at Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet. They have preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, emergency rations, food storage supplies, ammo and knives, jewelry, ReadyWise foods, and more. They stock items that you won't find anywhere else in our area. They buy, sell, and trade. Open weekdays and located on Triangle Drive just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Gunberg Schloss Collector's Cabinet.
Chris Brockman here from The Rich Eisen Show. And do you want even more excitement on game day? Yeah, you do. It's time to get on Prize Picks, the best way to win big on fantasy sports. Here's how it works. You pick 2 to 6 players. You choose more or less on their stats. If you get them right, you can win up to 25 times your cash. It's quick and it's easy to make your picks with fast and safe deposits and withdrawals. Prize Picks is the place to play. Prize Picks has awesome weekly promotions, and they're the only daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, keeping you in the game even if one of your players goes down. Watch your entry update in real time and continue the fun by making picks on the second half and fourth quarter stats. And right now, when you go to prizepicks.com/primetime, use code PRIMETIME for 100% deposit match. Prize Picks, daily fantasy sports made easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted car. Call 1-800-775-5622. You'll receive the maximum tax deduction, and we provide fast, free pickup. Call 1-800-775-5622. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Call 1-800-775-5622. This advertisement was paid for by Cars R Us and Find the Children.
North Idaho's Radio, KSPT and KBFI.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. My guest today is Clint Frank, and he is a Selkirk fire captain as well as the owner outfitter of Middle Fork River Tours. And before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the ups and downs of working in a fire department and how it's just got such a wide variety of emotions and skills and you know, just all the moving pieces that go in with that career. And so being the fire captain, I'm sure that you have all sorts of different responsibilities in leadership and whatnot. And I'm sure, like with any career, there are parts that are harder than others. And I know that there's some things going on right now that might make things a little bit more challenging. And so I just wondered if you wanted to kind of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So the most important thing to us as a fire captain or as fire department is just like safety, safety of the crew, safety of the community.
Sure.
And one of the things we've been bringing up recently is that we're just understaffed. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, we have these one firefighter engine companies in the kind of the satellite areas, Cary Wood and Renko, where we just want to make sure that those become two firefighter engine companies. So you always have someone driving, someone in the captain seat for a variety of reasons. First of all, it's way safer.
I was going to say.
Getting on scene with two people, right? Yeah. Because you've got that many more eyes to make sure the scene's safe. Navigating to the call, way safer when you have someone actually giving you directions. Like you say, it's a large district. You're not going to know every road and every street in 192 square miles. It's impossible,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So you do use Google Maps to get to some of these locations. So yeah, we just been pushing the idea that obviously we've seen growth in Sandpoint.
Yes.
All you got to do is look around or drive around because it takes yes, longer to get places, right?
For sure.
Obviously, a lot more density going on with some apartment complexes that are being built out both in Ponderé and Sandpoint.
And quickly,
which is great. It's meeting a housing need.
Yes.
That and that's a whole nother discussion.
Sure.
As far as how we're going to find good workforce housing. But as the growth happens, often emergency services lag behind. And we're just trying to get in front of it. So that's why we've kind of put it out to the commissioners. We put it out to council. And that's why we just had a article in the Reader about being understaffed,
sure,
underfunded. And, you know, let's start figuring out some solutions to fix that. That's all. So that's kind of what we're trying to get at the community to make sure we can kind of get some support to, you know, fund our local fire agencies better.
That sounds great. And so one of the things I did notice in that article is the fact that, you know, I from what I recall is there used to be a huge influx of individuals that wanted to be employed in the fire department. And I know that things have shifted a little bit and that maybe we're not necessarily attracting as many candidates as maybe we should or could. So is there something, you know, that you want to say about that?
Yeah, no. You know, we actually still are attracting good candidates.
Oh,
like,
good.
We've got two positions open right now, and we just attracted 42 applied.
Oh, awesome.
So the interest is still there. Unfortunately, we've lost a lot of experience in the last 2 years. Six firefighters have moved on either to early retirement, starting their own business, and four have moved on to other fire departments because, you know, certainly better pay down in Kootenai County in Spokane,
sure,
area, but really some of the leadership and just they've just felt like the point of bringing Selkirk Fire together between Sagal, Sandpoint, and Westside, this hasn't really grown to where it could offer a more robust fire department. It's just kind of been stagnant, and they're like, hey, we're just going to go ahead and move on to the departments that are better funded, better staffed, and just have, you know, maybe leadership that's going to bring them to where they should be as far as, you know, just providing them with the tools to be successful.
Yeah.
And that's all we're asking our local leaders and commissioners is, hey, let's possibly look at a levy and go out to the community and see what they want so we can actually get to a point
right.
where we have better staffing, two firefighter engine companies at every station, replacing some equipment that's, you know, well over 20 years, and just kind of building a path forward so, you know, as the area grows, we can meet the needs.
Yeah, I love that. And, you know, I don't think that there's any doubt that the area is going to be growing. So, you know, I think it's, you know, it's noteworthy to be trying to be ahead of the game. So, you know, my best wishes and all that. And hopefully, you know, you can get your voice out there and let people know kind of what's going on. So you can get some backing on that one.
Totally. It will be up to the community. I mean, obviously, anytime there's a tax increase, levy increase, it's a community vote.
Right.
So that should be happening next spring is when we will begin getting, you know, communication out why there's a need and, you know, how much growth we expect.
Right.
And exactly what we need as far as staffing and equipment to make it successful.
Yep. Well, all my best wishes to you and all of that. So good luck. And just to kind of wrap things up a little bit, and like I said at the beginning of the show, and you reiterated it, that I think it's really important to have that balance in your career, doing, you know, things that you love and as many things as you love, which I love about what you're doing. And then to also realize that there's always going to be things that are a challenge that come along with no matter what career it is. And to just kind of appreciate that and maybe focus more on the parts that are exactly what you want to do. But so if there's somebody sitting there in a cubicle and they're bored out of their mind and they're thinking, oh my gosh, I loved hearing about how Clint is living his life. Like, what advice would you offer to somebody in that position?
Well, you only get one life, you know, so you get one opportunity to make it your best life.
Yep.
So certainly find something you're passionate about,
yep.
Something you care about for work. I mean, obviously, you know, we all work to some degree, like I say, because you have to pay bills. But when you go to work and you can actually be happy to be there, you just, it's going to curtail to success in the rest of your life. Your family, your retirement dreams. And it just, they just piggyback off each other. Cause you know, obviously my greatest success is certainly my family. Number one.
Love
right?
that. Yep.
Raised two great kids here. Great wife. The rest of it, the fire service run an incredible river company. They just have worked so well cause I've had great family support.
Yep.
And being passionate about life and what you provide when you actually go to work.
Yep.
It just makes a huge difference in the amount of happiness.
Yep.
And you'll reach your goals.
Yep. And right. Everybody will be happy for it. So thank you so much for being on the show today. It was such a pleasure. That's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Be sure and tune in next month. And in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live it.